Empty yourself of everything. Let the mind become still. The 10,000 things rise and fall while the self watches their return. They grow and flourish and then return to the source. Returning to the source is stillness, which is the way of nature.
You are listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. Expand your mind and keep it love.
Welcome back to episode 113 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. The topic today is going to be a simple one, but kind of profound. And the title is The Mind, Defeated Fine Arts, Not Fear. Well, before I get into that, I'm just going to, you know, briefly apologize. I normally put out an episode over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday. Usually Saturday, but it was a little crazy. I was doing landscaping and I was kind of configuring an old Mac that I have. I have a Mac, I think it's Snow Leopard from 2011, literally. And I give it heavy use and it's still working, but I get the feeling it's getting ready to crap out on me. So I did a little research into these SSD cards, which I put them on a couple of my laptops, and what it does is it makes basically a lagging, slow laptop or computer. It makes it, in some instances, a rocket ship in speed terms. So contingent upon your configuration of what you have, that would determine. Also, for booting up, it's amazing, man. They boot up really fast. The SSD cards, the solid-state digital, I believe it is. Memory card. It's a hard drive, but it's just chips. No, there's no mechanical moving parts in it. So what happens is when you do that, it makes your computer exponentially faster. What I ended up doing was looking into backing up my Mac, as I said, Snow Leopard 10.6.4, I think, version. I was messing with it, and I combined, I'm going to be honest with you, probably about 8 or 9 different YouTube videos and about 3 or 4 write-ups on just Google itself and maybe a Reddit. That I had to hit Reddit. That's how deep I went. But I ended up figuring out, and there was 5 attempts. I believe the 5th one was successful. On the 5th attempt, what I ended up doing was I took the image and I copied the image to the SSD card. And made it bootable, obviously. So when I reset my Mac, I put it as my startup disk. I had this SSD card as one of the selections, so it could boot up from the native hard drive within the Mac itself. It's a 21.5-inch computer. So it could boot up from the hard drive that's already native, that's been in it for 10 years, or I could select that, or I could select the new SSD card that I put as bootable. And when I click the SSD card and it boots up an SSD. And what's going to happen is it'll boot up every time an SSD because it's configured from the startup. When you put it in my startup, there's another way of doing it through the alt or whatever. But what this means is I can get 50 different SSD cards and I can have 50 different computers, basically. What you want to do when you do that is it's really, really cool. You strip your OS all the way down, your operating system all the way down to like the bare bones, like just what's in there, and put everything else on an outside drive and bring it all the way down. Create an image on an SSD card. It's really a one-step process, two-step. When you get the new SSD card, you got to format it in the Mac journal, daily journal, or whatever that format is. And then the second step is, I believe it's in creating image or backup, and you drag and drop. It's in Mac. You'll see it in Mac. Well, if you're really like curious, shoot me an email and I'll explain in little detail what I did. But I'll shoot you the YouTube links that I used. But it's relatively simple. Relatively. Imaging is a little tricky. You know, I do write code and stuff like that, but I'm more of a SQL guy, databases and structure and stuff like that. Not when it comes to this stuff, you know, configuring Macs and stuff like that. The hardware gets a little tricky sometimes, but I dabble. I mess with it a little bit. I'm into it. So, yeah, man. So back to the main topic and the subject we were just talking about, which I'm sorry, I'm a little off the mic here. The topic we were just talking about are the fine arts, you know, the mind, feed it fine arts, not fear. What ends up happening in many, many times is that, excuse me one second. What ends up happening is you find yourself dragged down, okay, into the bucket where all you find yourself doing is researching negative energy and bad news and stuff. That's, although true and happening at the point in time, it could be all-consuming. Again, not to ignore it, because it's healthy to go through cycles where you kind of are in that state, in that paradigm, in that gestalt, okay, of looking and facing at your fear. That's important to do that, but you can't live in that state, because what happens is you end up missing life. You know, you become like a crab with a shell on the outside, and your whole purpose of living is to just show everybody your shell. You know, of how tough and how hard and how impermeable your shell is, and, you know, you're, look at the skill that you have now. That's not any way to live. So it's very important that, aside from looking at these negative entities and these things around us that do demand some of our attention, a percentage, and I normally, it's an odd thing that I do, and I use the 33 1/3%, like one third. Like, if whenever you need just a rough measurement of things or trying to figure stuff out, you know, I hit like 30. So I say to myself, you know what, if I find myself on that, on this negative stuff, like more than 33% of my time, there's an issue. If I just stay that way all the time. So upon that, you know, I've always been a person that I'm into history and philosophy, science, language. As you know, I speak a little French sometimes. I get by a little bit, something there. And, you know, my Spanish is really fluent, strong. You know, even though with the little Puerto Rican in there, but it's good, solid Spanish. Fluent, native. And what else? You know, a couple of languages. You know, speak a little bit of Filipino, you know, Bisaya, which has like 30% Spanish in it. So it's a little easier for me to understand and speak. It's a pretty cool language. My wife's native language. So, yeah, man. Let's see. So back to the issue again, back to the shorthand. So with all of this negative stuff around us that we have to be aware of, we can't go down that rabbit hole and get stuck. That you got to come out and get some fresh air, you know, and see for yourself what life is and the greatness that life has for us. And right now, when you can compare some of the modern achievements of man, which are like, let's say, the buildings that we put up, the skyscrapers that reach almost 3,000 feet high, pretty close to 3,000 feet high they're getting right now. And the great bridges that we have, the highways, the technology that we have, or yeah, electronics and technology that we have right now. And everything, cities, everything to, you know, the power grids and everything to exacting measures. It's crazy what you have right now. And yeah, you have all of this modernity, all of this modern stuff, these flat surfaces and right perfect edges, and everything has its, you know, scheduled, you know, maintenance grid that you have to do the scheduled, you know, procedures to and all that bullshit. But that's modernity, and that's what we have right now as far as technology and what the world has become. But originally, we were not that way. And even if you grab one of these skyscrapers that's, you know, 3,000 feet high in Mumbai or Dubai or whatever city it is that's so tall right now, it doesn't have a soul, okay? It's not like looking at the Mona Lisa or the Winged Victory at the Louvre, you know, Nike Winged Victory, or looking at a Van Gogh, like a real Van Gogh of sunflowers or something crazy, Michelangelo or Rodin, like the thinker. It's, we, or Picasso, you know, you can't compare. It's just something that, you know, it's this modern stuff. It by numbers, it's the tallest, and, you know, they put it up in XYZ amount of time, and here was the designer, and these are the specifications that he had, but it, again, it doesn't have any soul. and nobody's going to be looking at these skyscrapers, you know, let's say 500 years from now, saying, oh, look at this. No, they're going to be gone, and they're going to be a memory. They'll be forgotten. Okay, right now they're even doing it. Some of the buildings that in some of these bigger cities, even though they're already semi-skyscrapers, they're being torn down to put up taller buildings and complexes and everything like that. And that's all we are. That's how time moves on. So, all right. So, really, the purpose of this is to get into our ancient history and where we come from, to learn about your own culture, or whether if you come from a diverse culture of different people, learn about those people, but not just your own people, learn about all different people. Learn Greek history, learn about the Spartans, and learn about the Macedonians, learn about Alexander the Great, learn about Hannibal and Carthage and Rome and Julius Caesar. Learn about these people, you know, learn about the Gauls and Great Britain and the 1066 and the Battle of Hastings and all that stuff with the ancient English and Middle English and all that shit and Beowulf. It's all important. Get knowledge, because what in essence happens is knowledge is where the true richness lies. Okay, and you could even be in a setting where you have a lot of people, and you know, some dude has a lot of money, he's very flashy and all that stuff like that, and you're having a conversation. But when you find yourself in a group of people that, I want to put this in a nice way. When you're talking, you find out right away who are the mental lightweights, you know, like just in a conversation. And it's not that I'm competitive when I speak to people, but it can come out that way. Just in a semi-conversation. When you go on, what is that? Not Snapchat. Instagram right now. Everybody's talking about, you know, text yes if you're going to be a trillionaire by age of, and they're completely missing the point. Completely. I see where they're going, and they're trying to do all these affirmations and all that stuff. And all that affirmation stuff is cool. And I think it's good, especially when you're new to taking control of your own mind and you're kind of waking up and finding yourself shaking this matrix system a little bit off you and you know, kind of looking through the lens of your own ability to see things and rationalize and things. So what the modern day media / education system / agenda setting association du jour of the day, whatever bullshit they're trying to pan feed us all, you want to always keep in mind that what they're trying to do is indoctrinate you into something that isn't real. Okay. And that is one of the prime reasons why when you see a work of art, like, let's say, the Great Pyramids, or some of these great works from these ancient Egyptians where they did these sculptures in granite and danerite, there's one specific one I have in mind. It's called Khafre. Khafre, I think it's K-E-F-R-E-N, but there's different spellings. I believe it's in the Museum of Cairo. What it is, it's a pharaoh, but it has like a falcon affixed to the back of its head, like integrated into his head, of the pharaoh Khafre's head. And it's amazing, but it's done in a stone that's called danerite, which is, I believe, slightly harder than granite. And after that, it's diamond, you know, that hardness scale of 1 to 10. So diamond being a 10, and like talcum or something soft, it's like 0 to 1. And granite, I believe, is 8 or 7.5, and this danerite's like 8. It's really hard stuff. And today they said that they would not be able to make the type of sculpture in that detail and how the perfection that it was done in. And they made so many things in this fashion, the ancient Egyptians. And see, the problem was when you divide between the two, between the ancient Greeks and between the Egyptians, is this. Well, we know that the Greeks did go to ancient Egypt pre-invasion, because that was called the Ptolemaic Greeks. In other words, they invaded, I believe with Alexander the Great, they invaded and conquered Egypt. But prior to that, there were certain Greeks that went down to ancient Egypt to learn this sacred science and such, and all of these different mystery schools. And those were real. And these Greeks really did go down to learn, and they bring up names like Sir Isaac Newton, and just so many famous people that went down. They say Napoleon, and you know, and I believe Socrates even speaks about the ancient Greeks going down to Egypt to partake in that knowledge and learn, because the way of the Egyptian teaching is very mysterious, man, and it's something that is very symbolic and something that's very, it's dark, okay, and I mean dark in a sense of hard to understand and has a lot of hidden meaning. And I'll go a step further. When I say hidden meaning, there's some of that could be dark, like a cult, like negative energy, bad. Just like anything, just like any culture, just like any religion. So you gotta use real caution when it comes to that. But does really attract someone's attention, you know, with the mastery they had over nature and material and what they were capable of achieving through mathematics, engineering, and just precision and unbelievable engineering, man. Just tremendous geniuses, you know, and they can't figure it out today. Like, oh, one of the names I was going to say, I think it's Pythagoras that went down to ancient Egypt. Pythagoras. A lot of mathematics and all that shit. Anyway, so when you break it down to its lowest level, to our society that we're in today, it comes down to, as far as not the East, not Japan and China and stuff, but the East. It comes down to ancient Egypt and Greece. So like I said, between the two, the problem with the Egyptian stuff is it's so veiled and mysterious and everything that it's very hard to understand, very esoteric, okay? They didn't spell shit out in that way. Although they have a Book of the Dead in certain journals that they put out that you can read it, and it's deep and interesting, but it's so veiled and open to interpretation, you know? But the Greeks, they just told you what it was, blang, here's what it was, you know? So there's a region of Greece that you have to look at a map back, constructed back the way it was named at that time, going back 300 BC, let's say. And it's the modern-day Turkey, but the coast of Turkey, modern-day Turkey, that's facing towards Greece was actually kind of like a suburb of Greece. And that's basically the birthplace of philosophy right there. It's an amazing history along that region right there, called Ionia, and some very famous cities and very famous philosophers. The birthplace of philosophy is right there. So, and I talk about that in some of my early episodes. Investigate it, look into it. So these are the schools that we could look into. We could look into the ancient Egyptian or the Greek, but the Greek, they put it in a teaching that we can learn and debate and study and see what direction each teaching takes us to. And that's the classics. At the end of the day, it's the classics. It's when you look at, even let's say something, I don't know, as simple as the Mona Lisa. You look at it and the mystery involved. You know, even when I was younger, it struck me as a beautiful painting. But as I get older and I look at it, the mastery in that painting is interesting. I wouldn't pay some absorbent amount of money the way some people do for quote-unquote works of art. But as a piece of art itself, just as a value judgment, as standing in front of it and looking at it, it's amazing. It's amazing just the artistry that's woven into it and the mastery and the expression. It's crazy. So, there, you have to make it a habit and make it a devotion and dedicate yourself to get in and learning about these things, because you spend so much time spending your time on garbage. Like, and I'm not yelling at you or saying you specifically as an individual person, but a lot of people, and myself included, you know, we could spend time on bullshit or wasting time, that you need to make an effort to get in and learn about our ancient history. Like I said, right now I'm in this mode where ancient Greece is really chiming out to me, and I'm learning about it. It's kind of new to me, And it's fascinating. It's fascinating that the tie into all these different things when you start learning about the history of all of this, right? So that's why the way the mainstream and the way everything is running right now, they don't want you to know about your history and where you come from and the greatness that man has. The Temple of Baalbek in Lebanon, go online and take a look at some of them stones and tell me how that was done, how you think that was done. These megaliths, I think it's 200 tons, could be more, 800 tons, I forget the exact number. I think 800 tons sounds more right. So how was that done? And did they have saw marks on them? And they literally do when you look at them. And a lot of the stuff from ancient Egypt too, they have these blade marks, huge blade marks. It's really undeniable and really interesting. Like I said, I believe they softened the stone somehow. So this is what we have at hand. This is something that we can look up and make do some research on. If you have local museums near you, and if you don't have a local museum near you, you have Chrome, which I'm starting to use DuckDuckGo. I think DuckDuckGo is a little bit giving me better results these days. Google's getting weird. And you know what? I'm going to actually switch to that topic real quick before I forget, because, you know, I had mentioned it in a couple of my last shows how when you're doing searches on YouTube, or, because YouTube and Google are the same entity, okay? So when I do searches in YouTube or when I do searches in Google, I get these oddball results where it kind of misses on the stuff that I know or pushes sites that are going against what I'm saying. And I thought it was my imagination or something like that. But from what I'm hearing right now, Google is losing millions and millions of dollars every month now. And I'm saying I don't want to use the word billion, but like a lot of money they're losing right now because of revenue and people unsubscribing and no advertisements. And because you know what happens is it got to the point where YouTube was driving the market as far as advertising and doing everything like that, and it was drawing all the attention. So now they're losing money. Explain to me why Business 101, you would run a business and have a business that is in business to lose money. They're losing money right now, right? And I put up a couple of things on YouTube and it gets taken down right away. Some of the episodes that I have, some of them are on there right now if you want to go on YouTube and see them. But they were taken down by YouTube. Or ended at a really Google, that Alphabet, I think it's called Alphabet Company or whatever. And that's what the agenda is right now. They're trying to block out truth, but blocking out truth is like trying to block out the sun, because I heard a saying about truth that really resonated with me. They said the truth doesn't need any defending or anybody to defend the truth. The truth is like a lion. It can walk around in broad daylight in front of everybody and just be who it is, because it is the truth. It doesn't need to be defended. So whenever there's a statement that somebody gets confused or they don't want to discuss it or bring it up, it's because there's something to hide. So you always have to seek that truth. I digress. So knowing that it's important that we look at about these old ways, you have to understand that this mainstream media, this brainwashing that they're putting us, they want us to not acknowledge or understand these old ways, like the Parthenon and the Pantheon and the Colosseum and the aqueducts that the great Romans built, the architecture, the mathematics involved in that, the engineering. That stuff was built to over 2,000 years ago, those aqueducts, and some of them still supply water, dude. Some of them still supply water. Explain that shit to me, okay? And they use a special kind of concrete. I forget how to explain it, but they incorporated some kind of volcanic ash or something like that, and it made it waterproof and made it last forever, basically. But you had to know how to do it exactly right, and they did. It's amazing, man, when you get into history and learn about how our ancestors were able to do this. But they don't want you to learn about your ancestors. They want you to learn about LeBron James and about how this, I don't even want to bring up the news right now because it gets a little bit depressing, but they want to bring you in the wrong direction. They want you to, everybody listen to the same music, dance to the same beat. And it's when, at the end of the day, take an examination of what you spend your time on. Is it what you spend your time on? Is it mindless? Be honest with yourself. I mean, it's okay to spend some time on mindless shit. I do it, you know? Like, it's crazy with this Mac computer thing I was messing with. It turned into an obsession because I had bought the SSD card for it. Actually, I bought the SSD card for another computer. It was a 500 gig Samsung, a nice one. I think I spent $100 at the time a few months ago. But I bought it for another laptop. What if I think the laptop burned out? So I said, forget it. Let me try to do something with the Mac. But I've been intending to do this for the longest amount of time. And then I never really got around to it. But over like the past 2 weeks, I've been really delving into it, but kind of deeper and deeper and deeper. And I don't want to use the word making mistakes, but not really getting any traction as far as making progress, backing up the computer or anything like that. Backing up the operating system, whatever. Just because I love the computer, it works. This is a Mac 21.5 inch, and it works like a dream. It's a great computer. It's a battleship, and it's, you know, you grow attached to some of these computers when they work good. So I do. So anyway, long story short, eventually I did figure it out. But what I'm trying to get at is that it would have been easy to just give up on it or something like that. From my observation, I saw that there was going to be a way to do this, that it was logical that I would be able to do this. If I wasn't, I would have stopped and given up, which I did a couple of times. But I eventually broke through, but it kind of motivated me. I ended up doing the next, which that was Saturday, I did this with the computer. Sunday, I ended up doing some landscaping and stuff like that. It was crazy buying some landscaping, stone heavy stuff, almost threw up my back. But thank God I didn't. But anyway, I digress. So they don't want you to look into your past, your history. And when I say your, Greek history is your history, okay? History from Carthage is your history, from Rome, from Siberia, from Tokyo, the samurais. That's your history, man. We're all human beings. So you need to learn. I love that. Samurai history is amazing, man. I studied some of my episodes. If you listen to some, you know, Book of Five Rings, that's what you want to do. You want to integrate all of these, this different knowledge and teachings and strategies and everything like that. You want to kind of incorporate them into what you do so that it becomes a common nature You're in your nature to just be able to think in them terms, but you don't. That doesn't just jump into your head like that just because you know the book is sitting on your shelf. Okay? If you don't have time to crack that book open, sit and read, which a lot, back in the day I was doing that stuff when I was, I don't know, I think I was 14 years old, 14, 15 years old, I started reading the Tao and all that stuff, the Tao Te Ching, which is my favorite. That and the Book of Five Rings. And the Dharmapada. But anyway, if you don't have, you know, the time or whatever to do that, to crack open that book, just go on YouTube and type in Dharmapada, type in the Tao Te Ching, type in the Book of Five Rings, type in, you know, the Hagakuru, okay? Type in these different things, you know, Dharmapada, right? And you'll hear some tremendous teachings, right? But when I say listen to it, I don't mean put it on so you hear it. Like you're listening to, you know, some reggaeton beat or some kind of, you know, old school jazz beat. But you want to listen to what exactly the teaching is of whoever's speaking, right? What the message they're trying to get across. So that's where you find growth, you know. True teachings, a lot of times, you know, stuff that's easy will just jump right into you. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, shake your booty. Okay, that's the thing that you're supposed to do. But when you want to go into, like, deep levels of understanding, I mean, a lot of that stuff is veiled. So, to me, what I see religion to a large degree, what it is a lens that gives you the ability to look, to find God within yourself, basically, right? And the way that you, when I say find God within yourself, is it good? Is it wholesome? Is it truth? Okay, is it God glorifying? Is it something that people are benefiting and not being hurt? Because everything that today, the war that I see, the endless war that we see, I'm not going to get into that on this episode, but a lot of this endless war and this killing and genocide that's taking place today shouldn't really be happening, and that's what our tax dollars go to. So you can't sit and dwell on that stuff, right? So yeah, you want to be aware that it's happening and talk to your friends and your brothers and sisters and explain to the people that you love and people that you think that would understand, even if they, you don't want to take them to the deepest levels of reality of what's happening. You might want to just hint around and find out how much they know and kind of fill in the blanks where their next level would be, because you're not going to take somebody from level 2 to level 22, you know, or level 5 to level 28. So, you know, it is what it is. They want you to forget the old ways. They don't want you to know the old ways existed. Go online and take a look at the Colosseum in Rome, how that thing was devised, the mathematics involved in that. The Sphinx. They're saying that the Sphinx, I believe the number is like 30,000 years old, because this archaeologist, Robert Schock from Boston University, along with this guy, John Anthony West, not too many people heard about him, but he's a genius when it comes to ancient Egypt. And what they did was they noticed that there was fissures around the quarry that encircled the Sphinx. And the only way that those fissures would happen would be due to rain. And the last time it rained that much in the Sahara Desert, I think it's 40,000 years ago. It was like around 40,000 years ago. And then it ended up being, it's a fact, and I think it's slowly getting accepted. But this is shit that was coming out 20 years ago, or even 30 years ago. These guys are truly, truly interesting. But you wanna look up John Anthony West, because he has this series, Magical Egypt. I did a few. I think I got the whole series on audio because I did buy it, and it was so detailed and so enriching. I decided to, you know, kind of just put it on the podcast. So, you know, fair use and all that stuff. So, yeah, man. They, like I said, they don't want you to hear what truth is happening. They want you to go their way. They're brainwashing you. And the scary thing is, there's like two camps. You got these younger people that are waking up and they're seeing what's happening. And that's why there's no ratings in some of these large major networks. But you got, you know, you have some people that are like just getting into this, spending their whole day on their phone, putting on these apps that are going to show them what they look like when they get older. Or it's going to like, who knows what the fuck these days, what to do, how to make better popcorn. But they're embedded into their phone. You have those people. And you have some young people that are waking up to the reality of what's happening right now. And they're having productive lives and learning. And you know, so certain young people, you know, when you talk to them, I hear the conversations that are happening around me and everything like that. I'm in New York City. I hear this stuff all the time. So some young people are really waking up, but it's a battle, man, and it's getting down, because now, here's how you know that it's getting down to the end, because they want to censor everybody. They want to shut everybody down on YouTube, on Google. They want to take control of everything. I recommend going on DuckDuckGo and do your searches when you want to get your truth. You know, Google is great for, like, directions and, you know, whatever, maybe history and stuff that's, you know, can easily sanitized. You know, they hear the facts, and, you know, it's hard to mess with that. But if you're looking for real truth and learning about stuff and researching stuff, use many multiple sources, but one of your sources got to be DuckDuckGo, and the other one is BitChute. BitChute is slowly growing because YouTube is knocking down a lot of videos, and their algorithms are all screwed up. Where you put in one thing and they're giving you NBC, CBS, and that's why they're losing so much revenue, because people, instead of being on these major networks watching their cable television or whatever, even on their phone, they would be watching YouTube. So now what did they do? They would watch a lot of YouTube, get a lot of attention, a lot of eyes, and would make a lot of money of revenue with advertising because people were watching. But now that they switch around the algorithms, people get onto YouTube and they get switched to Fox and all that stuff and CBS and CNN. They're not watching that. So now they're looking at other sources. and Google is losing a lot of money, and they're willing to lose a lot of money. Does that make sense to you? What business 101? What business wants to lose money? Millions of, and I forget the number in the millions, if it's 50 million a month or whatever the number is, it's a lot of money. And they continue to lose by their own choice, by the decisions that they make to stick with these stupid algorithms that try to suppress truth and what's really going on, and get put out their own version of reality of what's happening. And everybody's waking up to that shit. So, you know what? I'm over here rambling. I'm going on 35 minutes of straight talking. So I'm going to exit out with a little bit of music. And this is Weather Report, and it's called 125th Street Congress. And on there, you're going to hear Wayne Short on soprano saxophone. You're going to hear, that's not Jaco Pastorius. That's some other dude. I think he's like Polish or something like that. Vitrus something. You can look it up. It's Weather Report. And 125th Street Congress, I think it's circa 1971 is when it came out. And you have Paul Zawinul. He's like from Denmark or something like that. And Wayne Short and the bass player. When you listen to this, the interplay between the bass and the soprano saxophone, the way he plays, is amazing, man. Right? That, and then the Joe Zawinul with the synthesizer, the way he chimes in, and the way they play it all out. But the bass on this is crazy. The bass and the soprano saxophone are hypnotic, crazy shit. So I'm going to play the whole section. It's called 125th Street Congress Weather Report. Pre-Jaco Pastorius, for those of you who are Jaco fans. And I really want to thank you for listening. And I'm going to say namaste. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is alphamalebuddhist. And check out my YouTube channel, Alpha Male Buddhist, and that's on YouTube. It is the podcast accompanied with video clips that integrate exactly with the podcast, so it's motivational and inspirational. I also have promotional t-shirts. If you go to my website, alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com, you can see the promotional t-shirts there. Reach out to me. Also, if you have any show notes or any suggestions that you would like to hear on the podcast, just reach out and see if I can get that done. I've been getting some really great emails and feedback from my listeners, which is great. So I want to thank you for listening, and namaste.